Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for peace. Bring peace to this broken, hurting world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All power and glory to you, O Lord, now and forever. Amen. As I was growing up, I enjoyed the TV show Happy Days. Did you enjoy Happy Days? Watching the Happy Days? Yeah, I see lots enjoyed Happy Days. Have you ever wondered what happened to Chuck? Do you remember Chuck? The older brother, the first season, he just seemed to disappear. Well, that wasn't the only major change. Another major change was, what did Fonzie wear the first season? A blue corduroy, like denim jacket? It wasn't leather the first season. And Fonzie was actually a very minor role in the show. I mean, Fonzie, Henry Winkler's name, was in the end credits. It wasn't in the beginning credits, it was in the end credits. But then that leather jacket became, and that leather jacket became so iconic, it was donated to the Smithsonian. And it's been on display and off display at the Smithsonian. And then there's that famous sound that the culture picked up on. And are you ready to do it? Okay, here you go. Oh, man, that had no feelings to it. Hey! I mean, that it just made its way through the culture. Now, do you remember the one word Fonzie could not say? That was close. I'm sorry, it's close, but that wasn't quite it. I was, you know, WRR, the ONG would not come out. He really struggled over saying I was wrong. Sitting at Synod Assembly a while back, there's a Bible study beginning at the Synod Assembly, and the Bible study began with how Jesus began his preaching ministry, and it included the verse, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I don't know if you remember this, Dixie, but I leaned over to you and said, I bet no one will bring up that he said repent. You remember that? And no one did. No one brought up the word repent. They went all these different directions trying to say all these philosophical things. But the first thing he said at his preaching, they totally ignored. Why do we look over that word repent? The first word Jesus spoke, he could have said anything. The first word he spoke was repent. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That word repent was a part of his regular preaching and teaching. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Repentance. There's something very powerful that happens in repentance. It's more than simply saying, I'm sorry. It's something much bigger. Peter, we heard this morning, and he writes in his letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Isn't that interesting? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter did not write everyone to come to believe. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guided by the very breath of God, Peter writes, but everyone to come to repentance. John the baptizer, preaching in the wilderness. What is he calling the people to do? Repent. Now, it was fun at summer camp. When we did the Passion Walk, there was this scene with John the Baptizer down by the stream and doing this scene from the wilderness. And that person playing John really loved the opportunity to say to the campers, "You brood of vipers!" Because that's the only time during the week they really could say something like that to the campers. But repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptizer was sent to prepare the way. And what was he saying? Repent. The preparing of the way was repent. Jesus, in his preaching, repent. Peter, repent. Martin Luther. Do you recall how he started the 95 Theses? A life of a Christian is to be a life of repentance. That's his first thesis, repent. Luther understood the biblical word for repent to mean a change of mind. Simply, it meant to change one's mind about the entirety of life. That there is no righteousness to offer before God. To change totally how I understand life, I have no righteousness in me to offer God. I am a sinner. True repentance is seeing that we are completely lost. Nothing good in us. And we must become absolutely new and different people. And that happens by grace through faith. You may not realize the power of the words that Mark uses to begin this gospel. And you may not realize how treasonous the words really are. The Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark with the association of the Apostle Peter. When Peter was miraculously delivered from jail, do you remember that? He was taken to the jail, and during the night, the angel comes to him, and the angel says, "Get up! Come with me!" And the chains fall off Peter, and the doors miraculously open, and next thing you know, Peter is out in the streets. Do you remember where Peter went after being miraculously freed from jail? He went to the house of John Mark's mother. Acts chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. In other words, this is where the gathering of Christians was happening, was in the house of John Mark's mother. And then Peter concludes his first letter that he wrote, indicating that Mark, this John Mark, is with him. And Peter even calls him his son, meaning a spiritual son. The Gospel of Mark was written by this John Mark, who was with Peter and was a spiritual son of Peter, whose own family home was used by the early Christians as a gathering place. This is the John Mark who writes, and he's probably writing while he's in Rome, and he's writing for the Romans, a Roman audience. Roman ears to hear, and John Mark does not mince any words. Mark boldly begins proclaiming the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, in a Roman ear, that would be a cacophony of acclaim. In the Roman ear, that would just strike loudly and hard. And what did you say? How dare you say that? Not being a part of the Roman culture, you may not know that this was a claim that Caesar made of himself to be Son of God. And you may not realize that when Caesar sent out a proclamation That proclamation was carried as good news about Caesar and what Caesar has done. Caesar claimed to be Lord. Caesar, through his might and power, claimed to bring peace, the Pax Romana, peace of Rome, to the region. And here you have Mark writing the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel, euangelion, that's in Greek, is euangelion, and it means good news. And that's the exact same word the Romans used to proclaim a message from Caesar as good news from Caesar. Son of God, a title claimed by Caesar. So for Mark to begin in such a manner, it would hit the ears of Romans in a very loud, powerful force, because they were used to hearing those exact same words as claims for Caesar. And what Mark is pounding into the ears of the Romans, all that Caesar claims about himself belongs to Jesus Christ. In the past, you started the Gospel of Mark and go, oh, okay, that's interesting. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, okay, that's interesting. No, it was a claim that everything Caesar said about himself does not belong to Caesar. It belongs to Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Do you see the power that Mark begins with? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is the good news. And then Mark writes, next is two prophecies. The first prophecy comes from Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. And the other prophecy comes from Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. And both prophecies are about the coming of one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. A Messiah means anointed. Christ means anointed. So preparing the way of the anointed one. And how did Mark write John the Baptizer prepared the way? By crying, repent, for the kingdom is near. Repent. Repent is the way of preparing. Jesus begins his ministry with repent. Peter preaches the first message on Pentecost when the people responded, well, what shall we do? Peter replies, repent and be baptized. Luther's 95 Theses, look it up for yourself. The first thesis talks about repentance being the ordinary way of life for a Christian. All of our life is to be repentance. When Christ says repent, it means all of life. That's how Luther's 95 Theses began. That's how the Reformation began, was repent. And for you as a Christian, understand how important repentance is for your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Repentance, the Greek word is metanoia. Metanoia. And it's a change of mind. And it's a change of heart. In such a fashion, you are changed. Having that change of mind, having that change of heart, it's seen that there is a change in the way you live life, a change of action. Repentance brings about a change in behavior. It's more than turning from sin and saying, I'm sorry. It's about genuine faith coming alive. The faith of repentance. It's changing from the things that you loved in this world and followed in this world to leaving them all behind and following the one who is the Christ. A change. Pharisees and teachers of the law complained Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus responded to them. It is written in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There's like a cause and effect here. The cause is a change of mind about Christ, who He is, and what His gospel really means. And the effect of that change of mind about Christ and the gospel, the effect is eternal salvation. The mind, the heart, the soul, they change. To see Jesus as He truly is. To see Jesus as the Son of God. And you have that desire to receive all that Jesus has to offer. Forgiveness of sin. Eternal life. You see the grace. You see the mercy being offered. You see the compassion of God. And you desire it for your own. You want that compassion of the living God to just envelop you. And hold you so close and so dearly that you are born again. The Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John are meant to be good news because they change you. They change you by the hearing of the good news of the reality that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that change is evidenced in your life. That believing Jesus is the Christ changes how you live. Luke chapter 3, first portion of verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. This is Paul preaching before Felix. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That's the Apostle Paul in the court shortly before he was going to die. Preached repentance and prove repentance by deeds. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. This is Peter preaching on Pentecost. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter preached the gospel. And the people were cut to their heart. There is power in this good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And as this repentance becomes more and more real in your heart and in your life, that peace that passes understanding, that peace will be yours. For you are reconciled to God. There is no greater peace to have than to be made right with the living God. Reconciled to God. We have no righteousness of our own. And to be reconciled to God, we repent and acknowledge there is nothing in us as righteousness before God. Christ, I need your righteousness. And that is that great exchange when Christ became our sin. His righteousness was made available to us. And we are reconciled with God. Do you desire peace? Be reconciled to God. Repent. Have a change of mind, have a change of heart about who Jesus really is. and let the fullness of that good news come into your life. That mercy, that grace that's freely offered to you, the compassion of God that just doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to repent. May that just amazing compassion envelop all of you. Do you desire peace in your home? It comes with changed minds and changed hearts. Do you desire peace in the workplace? Change your mind about your coworker. Pray for them and seek to serve them as Christ would serve. Do you desire peace in the world? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that the Prince of Peace come. The way of the Christian life begins with repentance, a change of who you are in mind, body, spirit, and soul, so that you recognize Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and you receive what the gospel freely offers, forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Then, each day, live in the reality you are born again. You are a new creation in Christ, and you will have peace in your soul. No matter what chaos is around you in the world, the peace of Christ will dwell because you have been reconciled with God. And you will be in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen.